Welcome to the Heartbeat of Humanity, a podcast series for staff and volunteers in the Red Cross Red Crescent movement, working with mental health and psychosocial support services. My name is Veronica Dietz, and I'm a project officer working for the IFRC Reference Center for Psychosocial Support. In the next 15 minutes, I will interview Dr. Sarah Miller and Luise Krüger. Dr. Sarah Miller is a clinical and forensic psychologist and a program coordinator in charge of mental health and psychosocial support at the ICRC in Geneva, Switzerland. Luise Krüger is a psychologist and a mental health and psychosocial lead in the International Department of the Danish Red Cross. Besides their roles in their organizations, they also lead a working group on collaboration and coordination for mental health and psychosocial support services. This working group is one of five working groups which were established when the movement adopted commitments to strengthen and harmonize mental health and psychosocial support. These commitments were made in form of a movement-wide policy and a resolution which were signed together with 196 states to the Geneva Convention. In this podcast, I will say mental health and psychosocial support a lot of times, so I will use the acronym MHPSS instead. If you would like to hear more about the importance of the MHPSS policy and resolution, I would recommend listening to the Heartbeat of Humanity podcast episode, Advocating for Mental Health and Psychosocial Support. There you will learn more about why the MHPSS policy and resolution were historic achievements made by the Red Cross Red Crescent movement. But back to our guests. Dear Sarah and dear Luise, welcome to the Heartbeat of Humanity podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here with us, and thank you so much for taking the time to explain to us the importance of collaboration and coordination when providing MHPSS services. As I mentioned in the introduction, the movement committed in a policy and with a resolution to strengthen MHPSS in six different areas. One of the areas is called Priority Action Area 2. Develop a holistic MHPSS approach between movement components and in collaboration with other actors. This is a very long title. Luise, could you explain to us what is meant by a holistic MHPSS approach?
So, in the context of Priority Action Area 2, the holistic approach refers to ensuring that mental health and psychosocial support services are delivered across a continuum of care model in alignment with the movement framework.
And could you explain to us, what is the MHPSS movement framework?
The movement framework presents the mental health and psychosocial support services that are required to address the needs of individuals, families and communities across all contexts. And a key to organising this support is to develop a layered system of complementary support that meets the needs of different groups. It's a multi-layered approach. It doesn't imply that the movement components must provide all services in all layers of the MHPSS pyramid. However, movement components, we're expecting people to assess, refer and advocate in relation to the full spectrum of mental health and psychosocial support, from basic psychosocial support through to specialised mental health care.
And how can we do that? How can we ensure that all people get the support they need?
This is where collaboration and coordination is key. If we want to ensure that we meet the needs of people with the relevant services addressing those needs, we have to have a coordinated and a collaborative approach, again, across the layers in the MHPSS framework. Collaboration and coordination foster better understanding of the various movement components' mandate and also their capacities, while ensuring that we create access to services without duplication of the services that we provide.
And how does the Red Cross Red Crescent movement do this? What's their approach in collaboration in MHPSS?
The wonderful thing about the movement is that we have different components and each has different mandate and expertise. And we mobilise these different components to support a national society in their auxiliary role to government whenever it's required. What this means for MHPSS is that we focus on the entire continuum of care of people's mental health care needs.
Are there any examples you can give of an added value of collaboration or coordination?
Yeah, through the work of Working Group 2, which is linked to Priority Action Area 2, we have identified various positive outcomes of collaboration and coordination. One being that already established partnerships and prior collaboration eases the coordination and joint effort to ensure a complementary MHPSS response when or if the operational context changes, such as, for example, with what we saw during COVID-19, the pandemic, but also the escalation of the conflict in Ukraine. Another example identified in the working group is the importance of recognizing the movement component's mandate, their expertise and capacities as a key to utilize the full potential and increase across the MHPSS framework.
And what are the possible challenges when organizations collaborate and coordinate?
Even if there are financial resources and the prioritization of services aligns amongst the partners, we find that often stigma and discrimination, which is linked to mental health conditions within the community and the authorities, hinders the provision of services. So this was one feature of the working group to activities, was to identify this challenge. We also identified that a changing workforce or a fluctuation of volunteers or turnover of delegates in the field or staff, and that sustainability hampers the project because relationships sometimes have to be rebuilt and the institutional knowledge can get lost. And another challenge is we acknowledge that there's importance of participating in technical working groups that are organised or coordination groups that are organised in context, but we also realise there must be movement internal coordination and information exchange, for example, through communities of practice, working groups, exchange visits. And this is because the specific roles that the movement components play. For example, the national societies have an auxiliary role to states, and the fundamental principles guide our movement practices. So we need to make sure when we're organising, collaborating and coordinating within the movement that it's connected to and relevant with the existing coordination mechanisms.
You already mentioned a few ways to improve collaboration and coordination, but what else can national societies do to improve collaboration with movement partners and also other stakeholders that are external to the movement?
So linking to what Sarah just explained, that is important to both participate in the existing structures, but also to sort of engage in movement collaboration and coordination, which can seem as a heavy task because there's a lot of coordination and collaboration going on. But it's crucial because the need for sharing information, resources, knowledge and training is going to improve the deliverables in the end and going to improve the access to services of those who we are trying to support. And it helps us with the mainstreaming of MHPSS, and it helps us also ensuring that we have a more harmonized service provision across the framework and also in those coordination whether it's with external or internal partners. It will help us identify the gaps that needs to be addressed, which then can be allocated to the partners in the different working space, best place to actually address the gaps.
That can sound quite overwhelming. I can imagine that national societies could feel overwhelmed by the fact that they need to coordinate many different actors in the country. Is there a way that we can make sure that national societies are supported in the best way?
Yes, within Working Group 2, we developed some guiding tools that would help for the national societies and other movement components in this work. The first one was a movement collaboration guide, which it forms a practical checklist to enable people strengthening collaboration across various different domains. So the assessment phase, the referral phase, the pathway development and partnership phases. And we thank the people of Working Group 2 for participating in the development of this really real concrete outcome. We have a project document template, and we have developed this so it enables movement partners to work in a complementary way to ensure the continuum of care across the layers of the movement framework. And the next steps really for us are to have a webinar in September 23, where we'll take a deep dive into some contexts that were assessed during the Working Group 2 process. We'll present those contexts and a lessons learned report. So we're really looking forward to showing the outcomes of the Working group to work. And I take this opportunity to thank Louise as my co-lead and the previous co-leads of Working Group 2 for all the investment and time they've done in leading this group, but more importantly for the Working Group 2 members who have participated, used their time on top of their existing tasks to really strengthen Priority Action Area 2 for the movement. We're really appreciative and thank you for this effort that we can highlight here in the podcast with gratitude.
Thank you, Sarah and Louisa, for those interesting insights into the strengths and challenges that come when different organizations are present in the same context and provide MHPSS services. What we can learn from this conversation is that collaboration and coordination is key to provide adequate and complementary services to different needs of individuals, families, and communities. The movement aims to achieve the full spectrum of MHPSS services by assessing needs, advocating for different services, and by referring to other partners which offer services. The Red Cross Red Crescent movement is made up of national societies, the IFRC and the ICRC, which each having their own mandate, strengths, and expertise. These can complement each other so that people with different needs can receive the support they need. Nevertheless, stigma and discrimination can hinder the provision of MHPSS services, as well as a high fluctuation of volunteers and staff that hamper the sustainability. These challenges can be mitigated by participating in existing coordination structures. This helps to provide better services which are based on the assessed needs and which have a high quality. You can find all these tools that were mentioned during the podcast, such as the MHPSS partnership document, MHPSS project document, and a checklist for collaboration on MHPSS on the IFRC PS Center website, as well as the webinar that was mentioned. It will take place on the 18th of September at 9 a.m. Central European Time, and you're welcome to sign up for it on the homepage as well. My name is Veronica Dietz, and I hope you enjoyed listening to this Heartbeat of Humanity podcast. Remember that mental health matters.